Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Pampa, Texas. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from our Sunday service. If we can pray for you, or if you would like more information about our church, contact us through our website at cbcpampa.com. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Well, y'all, it's the end of 2023. That's a little bit hard to believe. Next Sunday, we'll begin a series through the book of 1 John. And for a little while, through the end of March, you'll know what's coming next. Even better, I'll know what's coming next. But today, as we come to the end of the year, we're going to pause. We're going to evaluate where we are as a church, where we are as this local expression of Cornerstone Baptist Church, of the greater church. Every now and again, it's important for any group, for any individual, to take stock of where they are, of where they've been, of where they're headed. And this last year, we had our senior pastor retire, and then you called me to transition from associate to pastor. And I cannot tell you how seriously I take that calling. It's one I deeply appreciate, and I try to fulfill faithfully each day. We have celebrated the addition of new guests and new members to our body. We have honored those who have gone on to be with the Lord this year. We celebrated God's faithfulness through 20 years to this church. We honored Him during a time of homecoming in June. We've served our community by participating in the ministries of Good Sam's and Harvest House, by giving water to the thirsty at the burning of the bricks, by volunteering at the celebration of lights. And our ladies have been faithful in making teddy bears to be given out to hurt and scared kids at the Pampa ER. We've ministered amongst our body through ongoing Sunday school, teen kids, Wednesday night Bible study, men's breakfast. We've taken our kids and our students to camps where they've heard the gospel faithfully preached. We saw the beginning of a new women's Bible study that, by the way, will start back up at the end of January. You like how subtle that commercial was? It was just so smooth. We've studied together as a church the books of Philippians, Jonah, and Nahum. We studied the basics of the faith and the basics of the Bible together in our series through the Apostles' Creed and Bible study. We've worshiped the Lord together, we've fellowshiped together, we've served together, and I'm sure that there's plenty that I forgot while I was writing this down. But here's the most important statistic. We saw one person surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Savior. We've baptized one other person who was previously saved but never been obedient in baptism. Church, in 2023, we've got a lot to be thankful for. But I pray we're not satisfied with it. I pray that our desire as a church is not just to maintain our own existence, not just to tread water, but to grow the kingdom of God here in Pampa, to see souls saved, to see individuals and families grow in Christ, and to see the light of Emmanuel, God with us, that we've just celebrated in Christmas, spread in the midst of a culture that grows darker all the time. It's been said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. Yet, so many of us do just that. We live our life the same way today that we did yesterday, never examining our lives to see if what we spend our time on, if the actions we take yield the results that we're hoping for. Sadly, a lot of churches live that way too. They hold on to comfort at the expense of obedience. They refuse to examine themselves because, frankly, taking an honest look in the mirror can be pretty unpleasant. I don't know about you in the morning, but that first look in the mirror does not give a lot of hope for the rest of the day. I'm not going to go into details. I don't want any vomiting in the back. We don't want to be an unexamined church. It's easy to hide from reality, but it's far harder to face facts. and then to get busy changing that reality. The number of people here, the number saved, the number baptized, those aren't ultimately our responsibility. The results are Holy Spirit's job, but the obedience is our job. The obedience that Holy Spirit uses to lead to those results is very much our job, church. Back in August, we talked about the identity of the church, that it is one church comprised of all believers in all places at all times, that it is made for unity in diversity, that we are no two of us alike and yet made to function as one body, that we are to base our practice on God's word and God's word alone, and that we are to live the gospel on the two pillars of truth and love. This morning, we're not going to recap that sermon. We're not going to look at the church's identity. We're going to look real briefly at our job. In order to give a state of the whatever address, there have to be some criteria. At least you have to really hope that there are some criteria. Otherwise, it's just whoever has the microphone turned up the loudest, blathering on about whatever they want to for however long they want to. And that could be very dangerous. Amen? I really expected to hear really loudly from some of our deacons. There needs to be an objective standard of measurement, or else we're just making it up as we go along. Conveniently, God has given us the mission, the job of His church in Scripture. One of the simplest descriptions that I've heard of the role of the church is that it has three jobs. And they're up there on the screen behind me. Upreach, inreach, and outreach. Only one of those is a real word. Get over it. It's bad English and good theology. Upreach is the church worshiping together. It's us praising God, glorifying Him, honoring Him, thanking Him. It's the ministry of the church in response to what God has already done for His people. Upreach is about the vertical relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and His people. We're talking about upreach when we read Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is what we do together each week in our worship service. It's no accident that that's what it's called. It is an act of service from us as a church to God. It's a time for us to serve Him together by worshiping Him in His word, in song, in prayer, in giving, in service, and in the Lord's Supper. It's also what's referenced in the very next verse. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Our worship should be corporate. It should be together. But for each of us individually, it should also be going on in between our meetings here. Your worship of God and my worship of God ought to pour out in our Monday through Saturday lives just as clearly as it does in these few short minutes on Sunday mornings. Inreach is the church ministering to those inside it. It is members discipling each other. It is encouraging each other, exhorting each other, fellowshipping with one another, rejoicing together and weeping together. It is the ministry of members of the church to each other. It's about the horizontal relationship of believers to other believers. It's expressed in a number of ways, but the two most prominent are discipleship, which we see in Hebrews 10, where the author writes, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Discipleship is all about spurring each other on to grow in Christ. It's about each of us seeking to help each of the others reach our greatest kingdom potential now. Not just waiting for one glad morning when this life is over, but getting busy about growing in Christ, growing in righteousness today. This happens in Bible studies, in breakfasts, in Sunday school. It happens through relationships, one-on-one or in groups built around working to love the Lord and others better. But the other major expression of inreach is fellowship. It's loving one another. It's encouraging one another. It's sharing life. The good, the not so good, with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. And y'all, Paul got the same privilege when he wrote this to the church at Thessalonica that I have this morning. He got to write that instruction to a church to remind them to keep being faithful in this way that they were already being faithful. To encourage them, just as you are doing, keep on encouraging and building one another up. Church, you are faithful to love one another. I'm so grateful for it. You are faithful to seek reconciliation rather than holding grudges. And I so appreciate it. You genuinely desire what is best for each other, and that is by no means true in every church. And it is something to take a moment and praise the Lord for in the character of this church, that you do love each other more than you love sitting in your bitter little grudges. There are too many churches festering over something that should have been put to bed decades ago. And praise the Lord that that trait is not here at Cornerstone. Outreach is the third and final of these roles, these three roles of the church, though it's by no means less important than the other two. Outreach is the ministry of the church to those outside the walls, whether the primary ministry of evangelism, of sharing the good news of Jesus, or if it's it can be the ministry of meeting physical needs in any of a number of ways. It, just like inreach, is also horizontal. It's about people serving other people. But whereas inreach focuses on ministry of believers to other believers, outreach, you guessed it, focuses on reaching those outside the church. Outreach includes evangelism, which all of us are commanded to do. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Outreach also includes service to the community in tangible ways, meeting real needs. In Micah 6:8, we read, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? James says it a little differently. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Real service to our community will require that our priorities be the priorities of the kingdom of God, to serve those who need help, to care for those who cannot care for themselves, to love even the unlovable, and to do so all the while with our feet firmly planted in the truth of Scripture, lest our desire to love people somehow lead us to fail in our commitment to speak truth in that love. You see, the last part of outreach is that the church is to serve to retard corruption in the world, to stand as a bulwark against the ever-decaying influence of culture. Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Church, human nature is broken, it is sinful, and it's not getting any better. But the church can and we must step in and seek to be a common grace good to all those around us. We should be the first people to help with needs. We should be the first people to support just and righteous causes. And we should be the last people to selfishly seek what's best for ourselves. So we've looked at brief definitions of upreach, inreach, outreach. I haven't told you anything you didn't already know. This is a reminder. I think probably many of you have already noticed the places they overlap. Our meeting together this morning is both upreach as we worship the Lord together, and it's inreach as we encourage each other. Serving at the Celebration of Lights a couple of weeks ago was both inreach as we fellowshipped and enjoyed freezing half to death together, and outreach as we served our city. These three roles of the church all play into each other, and we'd be fools to try to separate them out into just one at a time. But church, my question for us this morning, as I talked about living an examined life, is how are we doing? Oh, y'all thought that I was just going to give you the answer? Give us a grade? Well, that's a Q minus today. That's not my job. I'm not the one the church is responsible to. I'm a member of this church. And we are all responsible, individually and corporately, to the triune God, to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, not to some man who gets to put on a microphone. So if you were to grade us this morning, how are we doing collectively at faithfully worshiping God together? How are we doing at faithfully ministering to each other, to living life together, to challenging each other to greater faithfulness despite the circumstances we live in? How are we doing at reaching out to those around us, sharing the good news of Christ, not only in our words, but in our actions and our generosity? Church, how are we doing? In any church, just as any individual, there are places of strength and places of weakness. I want to brag on y'all for some of our strengths, and I want to challenge us to grow in our areas of weakness. Y'all, just being real honest with you, my first semester at A&M was hard. It was a big transition going from homeschooled to a public university with 35,000 other students at that time, and that number has doubled. It's insane how big some of the colleges are now. I remember getting my grades at the end of the semester and seeing, you know, several grades I was fairly proud of, and then one that I really, really wasn't. I remember getting those grades in, taking them to show mom and dad, and emphasizing, oh yeah, did you see my grade in sociology? Oh, could you believe how good it is in animal science? What on earth was I doing in animal science? All the while trying to distract and downplay the grade next to chemistry. But ignoring that grade wouldn't have helped me get a better grade the next semester. Pretending that that weakness didn't exist would not have led to any progress. We all have places where we are more naturally gifted. Apparently animal science. Who knew? And places where we're weak. But that's no excuse to ignore the places we're weak. Those are the places we need to partner with Holy Spirit so that we can grow to be the men, the women, the church our Savior calls us to be. One strength in this church that is undeniable, we see in James 2. And James writes in his letter, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." James warns his readers to treat all people well. As image bearers of God, he warns them not to look down on anybody for any reason, not to show preferential treatment for any reason either. Church, y'all are amazing at this. I've never been part of a church near so good at welcoming all comers as you are. You're quick to love people. You're quick to welcome them. You are so quick to involve them and invite them. And it's a privilege to watch you love people no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what their wardrobe or their bank account looks like. Praise God. On the other hand, I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, we know that outreach is the one of these three areas where we need to grow. At least where we need to grow the most. We're welcoming when people come here, but how actively are we going out to the people all around us, carrying the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them? Church, praise the Lord that He didn't wait to save us till we came to Him. Praise the Lord that while we were still sinners, unrepentant in our rebellion, Jesus died, was buried, rose again to make a way of salvation. I pray that this year we will take after His example, that we will learn how to grow. And I hold myself right there with everybody else. This is a place we need to grow. Carrying the good news to those dying for want of it. Church, it's a responsibility that falls on each of us. All of us have different places where we can see needs, where we see opportunities. All of us have different people in our lives that I might be able to reach and you might not, or you might be able to talk to this person and nobody else in this church might ever see their face. Each of us sees different needs and opportunities, and y'all, we need each other's help in seeing the places where we as a church can serve our community well. One of the ways we can do that is to train ourselves. When the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, a ministry opportunity, a way to serve, a way to love the community, a way to reach out, don't let that just go right in one ear and out the other. Don't let the enemy convince you, no, well, if we needed to do that, then Kyle would have already thought of it. Or if we needed to do that, the deacons would have already thought of it. Or if we needed to do that, when something springs to your mind, don't dismiss it. Bring it to a deacon, bring it to me, so that if it's Holy Spirit prompting it, we can act on it. We are all members of one body. But no one of us is the head, because the head is Jesus Christ, the Savior. And when He speaks, sometimes it'll be to me, sometimes it'll be to a deacon, and sometimes it will be to you, or you down there through the camera lens watching from home. One privilege and responsibility of the church that I didn't mention earlier is carrying out the sacraments. I mentioned that this year we've baptized one person. And that's one of the two ordinances of the church, baptizing those who surrender to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The other is the Lord's Supper. And this act combines all three aspects. It combines upreach, inreach, and outreach all at once. We praise our Savior Jesus Christ by obeying His command to observe this table, by commemorating His sacrifice, by remembering the immense cost of salvation. We encourage each other as we solemnly participate in communion, as we remind each other that we are members of a body, that we are not lone wolves who have to live life alone and face the tempests and the tribulations by ourselves. We visibly separate ourselves from the lost, committing ourselves to kingdom values where the last shall be first and the meek shall inherit the earth. Pretty upside down, according to our culture. We provide a retelling of the gospel. We remind ourselves and we remind those who see us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus Christ, that He lived, He died, He rose again for the remission of sin. And that the same salvation we have received is available for any who will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In just a moment, we're going to invite all believers in Christ Jesus, all those who have been bought by His perfect life, His undeserved death, and His eternal resurrection, to take the Lord's Supper together. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight, and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There is perhaps no better picture of this than when we partake in the Lord's Supper together. As we honor Christ's sacrifice and we participate in his communion, we look to him, the only one able to lay the foundation for our faith, to be the foundation of our faith. We look to his sacrifice. We look to his broken body and his blood poured out, and we remember the great cost of salvation. At the same time, Jesus' sacrifice should inspire us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. As we've asked of ourselves to do this morning, we're to examine ourselves, to look inward and ask Holy Spirit to point out any sin which must be confessed and repented of in order to be in right relationship with the Lord. To be certain that there are no good things that we have turned into ultimate things, that we're not worshiping false gods of our own making above the one eternal, unchanging, and endlessly worthy triune God. This communion is also an expression of the unity we are to have as the body of Christ. As you look around the room, as you come forward in just a minute, I pray you're encouraged to see others who love Jesus, and that you're reminded that one day we'll stand around the throne and worship our risen Savior, not just with this body, but with believers from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, that we'll stand around the throne with myriad upon myriad and thousands upon thousands saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whether or not you're a member of Cornerstone Baptist, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we invite you this morning to join us as we celebrate communion. In just a second, Jim, if you'll go ahead and come down. Take a moment to reflect and to pray to be sure you're right with the Lord before we partake. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, if you haven't accepted his salvation, but feel Holy Spirit calling you, even now, raise your hand and one of the deacons will come and pray with you. Pray silently for a moment and then I'll pray for us.
Thank you for listening to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We appreciate you taking the time to listen and pray that you have been blessed by the hearing of God's Word.